live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening. It's 5 o'clock. This is the main evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, consumers are warned they'll face immediate changes when buying goods online from the UK in the event of a no-deal Brexit. Meanwhile, Intertrade Ireland is encouraging businesses to plan for a no-deal Brexit. A ban on private care in public hospitals could cost the state €6.5 billion and take 10 years to implement, according to a new report. The HSE is raising concerns at the level of measles and mumps in the country. Already this year, it's three times the full total for 2018. And almost €200,000 to be spent on safety works in Donegal. All those stories to follow, and later in the bulletin at around 5:15, we'll have the sports news with PJ. Consumers are being warned they'll face immediate changes when buying goods online from the UK in the event of a no-deal Brexit in October. Increased VAT and import tariffs, along with changes to consumer rights, will come into effect for all products purchased from UK retailers if Britain crashes out of the EU without a deal. Unpost, which processes 14 million packages from the UK every year, says it's been planning for Brexit for 2 years and is in daily contact with Customs and the Royal Mail. Fergal O'Leary of the Competition and Consumer Protection Commission is warning shoppers that their rights will be affected.
You really now need to engage with this as a consumer. Consumer rights in the EU have been built up over the last number of decades and they're very strong for consumers. But if the UK is not part of the EU in the next 6, 7, 8 weeks, then that means that consumers will be relying on terms and conditions as opposed to statutory instruments that have been built up over the last couple of years.
When new research commissioned by Intertrade Ireland underlines that while Brexit is looming large in the background for businesses, most firms are opting to pay no attention to its potential impact. Figures from an Intertrade Ireland survey reveal just 6% of cross-border traders are preparing for cash flow and liquidity issues in the event of a no-deal Brexit. The data also shows that only 6% of businesses have examined the possible legal implications on business contracts if the UK leaves the EU without a deal. The policy research manager with Intertrade Ireland is Kerry Curran.
We recognise that Brexit is the elephant in the room right now and it's too big for businesses to ignore. So today we're launching our bite-sized Brexit campaign to encourage businesses to take those first steps to get ready for Brexit, even if they're just small ones, so that they can be better prepared for when Brexit arrives.
A ban on private care in public hospitals could cost the state €6.5 billion to implement and take 10 years to complete. A report by an independent review group established by the Health Minister to look at private care in public hospitals has now made a number of recommendations. With more, here's Trish Laverty.
8 recommendations have been put forward in this report. It includes legislation to ensure that public hospitals are exclusively used for treating public patients and any doctor treating private patients should have their contracts changed and receive a contract change payment. The report also says new consultants should be offered public patient contracts only. The report says in the short term the cost of insurance should fall, however it's likely that the number of people buying insurance will drop, which could result in higher costs long term for people retaining cover.
Well, the Irish Medical Organisation says there's no evidence that capacity or waiting lists will improve by banning private patients from public hospitals. The president of the IMO, Dr. Padraig McGarry, says the difficulty in recruitment and the need to increase hospital capacity are the real issues that need to be addressed.
Yes, we should move into that place where we have a single-tier system, but you have to put in place the structures first. You cannot forge ahead with a plan until that situation is corrected and needs to be corrected immediately. You also have to increase the number of beds in the public system.
The HSE is raising concerns that up to 7,000 children a year aren't being vaccinated against measles and mumps. It comes as children across the country prepare to return to school this week. Over 1,600 cases have been recorded so far this year. That's three times more than we had during the whole of 2018. Some of the most significant outbreaks have been in the northwest. At least 6 cases were linked to a single outbreak in Donegal. Dr. Kevin Kelleher from the HSE says the fall in uptake rates for the MMR vaccine is worrying.
We got up to about 93% 2 or 3 years ago.
but it's declining again. It's back down around 91% now for the whole country, and with some pockets in the country where it's down as low as 80%.
Almost €200,000 has been approved for works to improve road safety, parking, lighting and footpaths in Donegal. Two schools and a number of development associations are set to benefit. With more detail, here's Emma Rose Callaghan.
€45,000 has been allocated to the area around Cranford National School with a programme of road surfacing, pedestrian crossing, footpath and public lighting planned. Trenta National School will see parking and other facilities enhanced with a €14,400 investment. Malin Development Association has secured €45,000 for resurfacing, car parking, footpath and road markings. Drimarone Development Association is awarded €35,972 for road surfacing, car park, footpath, road marking and fencing. Fulcara Development Association receives €35,972 for a playground, while Carrigan's Tidy Towns Committee has secured €19,800 for a pedestrian crossing. Minister Joe McHugh says these projects will help improve the safety around schools while also benefiting the wider community.
G7 countries have agreed to immediately spend around €18 million on helping Amazon countries fight raging wildfires. A long-term initiative to protect the rainforest will also be launched. Brazil's president says the idea of an alliance to save the area would treat his country like a colony or a no man's land. Shots were fired at a house in Longford early this morning. It happened shortly after midnight in the Glenriadha housing estate in the Strokestown Road area of Longford town. Gardaí say the scene is being preserved for a technical examination. No one was injured and no arrests have been made. A priest in the Derry diocese says he doesn't want churches to become fortresses and accessibility must be a priority into the future. It's been suggested that extra security measures may be necessary in and around places of worship in Northern Ireland, with 23 recorded attacks on churches and other worship areas in Derry and Strabane district over the past 3 years alone. Well, Father Michael Canny says while the attacks are regrettable, religious buildings must remain open and accessible to the public.
I suspect that occasionally attacks might go unreported because it might be in the form of graffiti or something like that on a wall or something like that, and people maybe taint it out before it gets too much publicity and maybe don't even report it to the police at all. So I think that is unfortunate that we have so many attacks. But there are also, of course, the people who publish these figures say that they're looking to get money for all sorts of things to make them secure and more safer. But I personally think that, you know, all we need is vigilance and a bit of good sense. And certainly places of worship and cemeteries and all of that are places where people frequent regularly, and they shouldn't be turned into fortresses, because, you know, they have to be places where maybe people who are vulnerable and people who are in a strange place maybe need to go there for solace and comfort, and hence we have to keep them open and available to the public.
It is very disheartening, though, for the likes of yourselves and other churchgoers and so on who attend these churches. They love these places of worship, and it's so sad to see them vandalised so often.
Yeah, well, the reality is this case, as well as while it's, you know, there's an emotional attachment to these places, and while it's very disheartening, as you said, to people who go to church, I think also for people who don't go to church regularly, you know, places of worship and churches and cemeteries are places where they do find comfort and solace. Even though they might not be regular churchgoers, I think they also, you know, they hold them in a special place. So it can be very disheartening.
And that was Father Martin Canny there speaking to Catherine Gaffney. It's emerged that just over 6,000 families in Donegal have been awarded the back-to-school clothing and footwear allowance for this year. It's one of the highest allocations in the country. The closing date for receipt of applications for this year's allowance is September 30th, with eligible families urged to apply before the deadline. Donegal Deputy Thomas Pringle says while the high allocation is positive, the figures are also a clear indication of just how many families in Donegal are struggling financially.
There still is an awful lot of people dependent on social welfare in the county, and at this time of the year, it's a very expensive time for families. Going back to school, when you have to look at the uniforms and books and stuff like that there. And it is a very worrying time for very many people as well, and how are they going to meet those costs. And even though that the figures are high, I believe that they should be probably could be quite a bit higher as well in Donegal, because people whose circumstances might have changed slightly since last year won't automatically automatically be sent an application for back to school allowance. So what they need to do is, if they haven't received it, is get on to the department, because they may still be have some qualification and they may still be entitled to some support, even though the circumstances have changed a bit.
Do you think that the high allocation in Donegal so far is a reflection of, I suppose, maybe a lot of people struggling in this county as of now?
Yeah, there's no doubt about that, unfortunately. It's a sign that the county is still struggling. People are having a lot of difficulties. And the back-to-school program for their allowance is basically paid to people who are on very low pay and on social welfare. And it's a sign that there's a lot of people still in that category in the county, unfortunately. And so they will need the support and they will need the help to get the kids organised for this time of the year.
Deputy Thomas Pringle. A Donegal councillor has again refused to condemn the defacing of signs in the west of the county. In recent weeks, it emerged that a number of signs had the English language translation of Irish place names sprayed across. In a statement, Donegal County Council said it's disappointed at the vandalism and the repair costs would be better spent on other road maintenance needs. However, Councillor Micheál Colomagala-Aspag has again reiterated his belief that the issue runs much deeper than the defacing of Gaeltacht signs.
I believe that this was done to bring attention to the Gaeltacht community, and also there's money being spent within Donegal County Council every year from junkets to other waste of money, but I don't hear Donegal County Council ever putting out statements in relation to the likes of that. But maybe that's because maybe this is more politically motivated than anything else.
So do you agree with the vandalism then?
I don't see it as vandalism, I see it as direct action. When you have a community that has huge unemployment, massive immigration, lack of infrastructure, you're watching your own native tongue, your language, dying. We've seen poor commissioned by the state back in 2007 and has given a limited time to save it, which within the Gaeltacht community, and people feel very strongly and passionate about our heritage, our language, our culture, and don't want to see it dying, and have taken a very principled stand. Let's be honest about this here. I don't think anybody wants to see signs defaced, but at the same time, they don't want to see an end of our beautiful culture and language, and they're putting up a fight. And this is a strong statement. So it's really up to the government now to either to respond or else to continue to do what they have done, and the same as successive governments have done, is to ignore completely rural areas and the Gaeltacht.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Gear up for back to school with leading sports brands at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 5:15 and we say good evening to PJ Lynch.
Good evening, Donal. We'll start with soccer. New Cork City manager Neil Fenn says returning to the club was an opportunity he couldn't turn down. Fenn won the Premier Division title with the Leasiders in 2005 and leaves Longford Town after 2 years in charge at the City Calling Stadium. John Cotter has been in charge of Cork since John Caulfield resigned in May, and he will stay at the club as part of Fenn's backroom team. Fenn's first game in charge would be at home to Sligo Rovers on Friday night. The big guns have been kept apart in the quarter-final draw for the FAI Cup. Holders Dundalk will be away to Waterford, while Shamrock Rovers will also be on the road away to Galway United. Bohemians have been drawn away to the only non-league side left in the draw, Crumlin United, while the Showgrounds will host the meeting of Sligo and UCD. Dundalk can re-establish a 7-point lead at the top of the SSE Airtrustee League, a Premier Division tonight. Vinnie Perth's side welcome bottom side UCD to Oriel Park. Cross Channel, a deal to sell Bolton Wanderers has broken down, meaning that they face the prospect of being liquidated this week. The League One side have until 5 p.m. tomorrow to complete a sale, or they could be kicked out of the Football League just 7 years after they were relegated from the Premier League. Bolton's administrators say if a compromise can't be reached, they'll have no choice but to start closing down the company on Wednesday. Maggie Tetlow from Bolton Supporters Trust feels those discussing the club's future don't care about the team.
They just need to get this deal agreed and put everybody out of the misery. If they had an ounce of decency and compassion for the club and the town and, you know, the people who live here, the people who work at the club, they would get this deal done, because it's heartbreaking for the town and the club.
Action tonight in the Donegal Junior League in the Brian McCormick Cup. The Lifford area sees Raphoe Town travel to a convoy. Arsenal with kickoff at 8 o'clock. The winners of that game tonight will face Lifford Celtic in the area semi-final. In cycling, Sam Bennett has won the third stage of the Vuelta a España. The Irish rider claimed the victory in a sprint into Alicante to make a 12-stage wins for 2019. Nicholas Roach retains the leader's red jersey with a two-second lead over Nairo Quinta. In rugby, Iban Etzebeth has been included in the South Africa World Cup squad despite having to deny allegations of assault and racism. The second row was involved in an incident in Cape Town leading to accusations that he assaulted and racially abused a homeless man. Etzebeth says the claims are completely untrue and unfounded, adding that multiple witnesses can corroborate his position. And in tennis, the final Grand Slam of 2019, the US Open, gets underway this evening. The meeting of two former champions is the feature match on the Arthur Ashe court, with Serena Williams facing Maria Sharapova. French Open champion Ashley Barty opens proceedings on Ashe, facing world number 80 Zaria Dias. Top seed and defending men's champion Novak Djokovic plays Roberto Carballes Baena, while Roger Federer faces world number 190 Sumit Nagal of India. That's all your sports news here on Highland this evening. Your next local sports update is after the 8 o'clock news tomorrow morning. But for now, it's back to Donal.
Thanks, PJ. Beachgoers are reminded to only swim in waters that are attended by lifeguards. It follows an incident at Murderhole Beach near Downings at the weekend in which a girl who was waveboarding was hit by a riptide and dragged underwater. The secluded location of the beach meant no water safety personnel were on scene to assist in the rescue operation. Two men in the area eventually managed to bring the girl to safety. Emma Lou lives nearby and spoke on today's 9 till noon show. She told Greg Hughes that this area is notorious for strong riptides. She urged people not to swim there.
It's unpredictable. You know, you never just presume that no matter how strong a swimmer you are, you never presume that you're safe. Always take precautions. And like with rip currents, especially, no matter how strong a swimmer you are, you can still get into difficulty. And like I say, if in doubt, stay out. So a beach like Murderhole, it's not meant for swimming. So even if you are a strong swimmer, like the last time I was down there, I had to tell a group of fully grown adults. Now we're talking about a child that got into difficulty that was in the water. This was a group of fully grown adults who were waveboarding. And I had to, you know, approach them and say, guys, it's really not safe. They were going really far out. I could see rips myself from the shore. There's huge breaks in sandbars there, which is always an indicator to watch out for rips, and they just completely ignored me. So that's what you're up against. But I would just always say to anyone, look, if you're, you know, even if you are comfortable in the water and you're regularly in, always spend a little while on the shore first of all, checking like that. If there's no one else in the water there's probably a reason for it. Just stay out. Go to a beach where there's a blue flag and lifeguards, and you know that, you know, there's going to be someone there on board.
Emma Lou there speaking on the 9 till noon show. A public meeting takes place this week in Letterkenny with a view towards intensifying a campaign in Donegal against the Mercosur trade deal. The event in the Clonry Hotel on Thursday is being organised by Sinn Féin. Midlands North West MEP Matt Carthy and Donegal Senator Padraig McLaughlin are hosting the event. Senator McLaughlin is urging people to come out.
This has been an issue for so long, and I have to say it's very heartening to see them standing up and taking on the meat factories, some of the cartels that are out there that have been giving them an appalling price for so long. So the backdrop is the price that beef farmers are getting, way below what they can, you know, need to make a living. And then they're proposing to bring in 100,000 tonnes of beef with completely different environmental standards. Particularly if you look at Brazil right now with the Amazon forest burning, President Bolsonaro, you know, who's backing ranchers, totally different environmental standards, and they're going to bring that in to compete with the likes of the standards of Irish beef farmers. It is outrageous, and we need to challenge it and stop it.
Now, we know the protests have resumed at a number of plants across the country today, but they're not being endorsed by any farming representative bodies. Is that a cause for concern?
Well, I have to say, I have met with farming organisations for years and years, and this issue of price for produce has always been there, but it's never actually been addressed. We've never confronted the major supermarkets, the major meat factories that have been keeping these prices so low. It's got to the point now, and you know, Donegal is very heavily reliant on the small suckler beef operator, very, very heavily reliant on them in rural communities.
Senator Patrick McLaughlin there. It's anticipated that the first sod of the Sleeve League distillery will be turned later this year after planning permission was granted by Donegal County Council. The new distillery complex, to be located in Ardra, will include a visitor centre and associated offices, labs, bottling hall, bar tasting and shop areas, together with staff facilities. Once up and running, it's estimated that the distillery will employ 40 people. James Doherty of Sleeve League Distillery says they're delighted to be given the green light. He's hopeful they'll be distilling in December of next year.
I think relieved is probably the overriding emotion, but at least now we can make a start, get on, and as you know, sort of whiskey's a long-term plan, so for getting started is a fantastic step for us.
And it has been, you know, a lot of, I suppose, stumbling blocks along the way, you might say.
Yeah, I think resilience is always a key thing in any startup, and you know, I suppose we've kind of steadfastly kept moving on. We've been very, very fortunate that we've had a lot of good supporters over the years, and our architects have stuck with us, and you know, I think the successful application for this planning is as much due to Cornerstone Architecture and the hard work those guys have put in for us.
So what are the plans now that you have the planning permission granted?
Well, we probably need to circle the wagons a little bit and just to sort of work through the sort of engineering drawings for the distillery that gets them to sort of tender, so that we can get the documents out and get the tenders in for actually building the buildings. We've got the still manufacturers actually here on Sunday looking at the site with us, so we'll be doing some stuff like that. Hopefully we'll sort of turn a sod later in the year. Build through next year, and then with my ambition, I guess, is to be distilling sort of around Christmas next year.
James Doherty there. And finally, emergency personnel attached to Rescue 118 have been praised for their swift response to an incident on Arranmore Island at the weekend. A person fell ill on the island on Friday evening. The helicopter arrived within minutes to carry out a medical evacuation. The individual was brought to hospital. Island spokesperson Jerry Early says they provide a vital service to the community, and it's reassuring to know they're there.
It's hugely, I suppose, comforting, not just for the locals, islanders, but also for the visitors we have this time of year, which multiplies on the island. Is it's just a really great service for, you know, along with the RNLI and our own ambulance service and everybody that's involved in the Medicare service on the island, and indeed we're Donegal. It's you know, it's a massive comfort, I think, to know that these guys and these men and women of the Air Corps are just sort of 15-20 minutes away from us.
And the weather forecast: cloudy for the rest of today with patchy rain and drizzle along the west coast, south to southwest breezes, light to moderate. Outbreaks of rain will become more persistent along the west coast overnight and extend to all parts by morning. Overnight lows 9 to 11 in mostly light southerly breezes. Cloudy with further outbreaks of rain and drizzle tomorrow, highs ranging 15 to 17 in light to moderate southerly breezes, veering northerly later. And that's Highland Radio News for now. Looking at the main headlines, consumers are being warned they'll face immediate changes when buying goods online from the UK in the event of a no-deal Brexit in October. Increased VAT and import tariffs are likely to become an issue. New research commissioned by Intertrade Ireland meanwhile underlines that while Brexit does loom large in the background for businesses, only 6% of firms are preparing. Most cross-border firms are not paying any attention to the potential impact of a no-deal. A ban on private care in public hospitals could cost the state 6.5 billion euro and take 10 years to implement, according to the report of an independent review group. The Irish Medical Organisation says there's no evidence that capacity or waiting lists will improve when private patients are banned from public hospitals. And the HSC is expressing concern at the continuing fall in the uptake of the measles and mumps vaccine. Back with more at 6. Good evening. The obituaries for this Monday evening, the 26th of August. The death has taken place of Pat Gillespie, aged 102 years, Glenview, 76, Railway Road, Strabane. His remains are reposing at his home. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 9:20 for Requiem Mass in Sacred Heart Church, Derry Road, at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Chest, Heart and Stroke, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. Family time, please, from 10 o'clock tonight. The death has taken place of Liam Gill, St Peter's Park, Greencastle. Removal from Eternal Light Chapel of Rest, Mountaintop, Letterkenny at 7:30 this evening, going to his home. Funeral from there on Wednesday morning at 11:15 for Requiem Mass at 12 noon in St Mary's Church, Ballybrack, followed by burial in the adjoining graveyard. The deficit card of Tony McAleer, late of 3 Emerson Terrace, Sion Mills. Tony's remains will repose at his late home from 6 o'clock this evening. Funeral from there on Wednesday morning at 9:30 for Requiem Mass at 10 o'clock in St. Teresa's Church, Sion Mills. Interment afterwards in Melmount Old Cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to St. Vincent de Paul, Sion Mills, care of any family member, or Charles Lynch, funeral director. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 10 a.m. The death has taken place of Aidan McMenamin, late of Lochry Terrace, Drumquin. Aidan's remains are reposing at Sean O'Kane and Sons Funeral Home, Drumquin, until 9 o'clock tonight. Funeral tomorrow with 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St. Patrick's Church, Langfield, Drumquin, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. The death has taken place of Patrick John Paddy McBrearty, Cleary House, Carnamugga, Letterkenny, formerly of Castlegarry, Inver. Paddy's remains are reposing at his brother Thomas's home at Drumfin, Inver. Removal to St. Noel's Church, Ardahi, this evening, arriving at 7 o'clock to repose overnight. Funeral Mass tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock with interment afterwards in Cronny Road Cemetery, Frosses. House strictly private, please, at the request of the deceased. The death has occurred of John Kelly, 12 Castlefin Park, Castledurg. John's remains are reposing at his late home. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:30 for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock in St. Patrick's Church, Castledurg. Interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. Family time, please, from 11 o'clock tonight and before the funeral tomorrow. And the death has taken place of Joseph Joe Green, Moss Cottage, Carndonna, formerly of Cartranmore, Drumcliff, County Sligo. His remains will repose at his brother Leslie Green's residence at Cartranmore, Drumcliff, from 3 o'clock until 9 o'clock tomorrow. Family time, please, on Wednesday morning. Funeral from his brother's home on Wednesday afternoon at 1:30, going to Drumcliff Church for service at 2 o'clock. Burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please, if desired. Donations to the hospice ward, Carndonagh Community Hospital, care of any family member, or Pat Kelly, funeral director, or Johnny Burke, funeral director, Grange, County Sligo.